Hey, welcome to the Sparkling Client Podcast. I'm Eric Mork, I'm the host, and what we do is we give you short, informative shows all about Silverlight. All right, welcome to another edition of This Week in Silverlight. Hey guys, hey Brian, hey Kelly, how are you guys?
Doing great.
Doing good, good to be here.
Yeah, so a good week for Silverlight. This week, by the way, we're recording April 1st, 2010. Brian, why don't you lead us off with the first news story here?
April 1st, no kidding. Very cool 3D browser by Yahoo there. Very interesting. Kind of pops up in your face. You can scroll around a little bit.
In Silverlight.
Wink, of wink. Course. Wink,
okay.
Wink.
Okay. Shout out to MVP. So, first of all, this... So today, April 1st, is when we have one of the four quarterly MVP renewals. So those people in the Microsoft space who are MVPs, some of us got our renewals today. And shout out to all renewals as well as some new MVPs. And Brian has been kind enough to provide some links there for those folks. And also, thanks to Brian, he provided virtually all the links for today's show. So thanks for that, Brian.
Thanks for the call out, Eric.
All right, folks, so we're going to go through this. We have some awesome stuff to talk about, so we are going to move through the news items pretty quickly. First of all, the venerable John Papa has a great post up on how to do view model location in MVVM using MEF, and it reminds me of sort of the old style of posts he used to have before he went to Microsoft. I thought it was very, very cool, plus a good topic anyway.
Wow, that was a backhanded compliment. But anyways, good work, John.
Oh, yeah. Well, I could see where it would be taken like that, but I know that guy is super, super, super busy, and he does a lot of good stuff in his current job, too.
That's a great post. It's a step-by-step how to do it, so it's very cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff surfacing about, you know, how to get that right, how to get blendability and design and everything right. And I like where he and some other people are going as well. All right, Scott Barnes has left Microsoft, but he has, and perhaps related to the last items, he's actually increased his blogging as nearly as I can tell. He's got a post up on how to do some extensions or how to hack Expression Blend, which is basically how to extend Expression Blend. Silverlight SDK team, changing templates in the Silverlight Designer and seeing those changes immediately, and we'll have the link up there as well. Jeff Wilcox has been super busy working on a couple things. First thing is he's talking about how to do some unit testing inside of the Windows Phone 7 series phones or whatever the hell we're supposed to call it. What's the right name?
I just call it Windows Phone 7. I don't know what you call it.
Okay.
What's your name, Kelly? What do you call
it? I'm not sure what acronym. Right now I'm kind of like, you know, trapped by that Silverlight unit testing acronym. That's
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's South Lake Union Transit there. No, wait. Oh.
No, it's right. Silverlight Unit Test.
Oh, Silverlight. Right.
Unit Test Framework. It's something Jeff announced last year. It's like a little side project. He's actually not part of his main work. But he presented at MIX again this year, and a great presentation at MIX. And he also has a nice link. I think it's jeff@mix.com is his...
Yeah.
His own personal site just for MIX.
Wow, cool. And then he also has some tips and tricks about template parts in the control development. And so always useful to get that stuff. Charlie Kendall talking about Major League Soccer.
And, on Silverlight.
On the phone. Silver, it's not Silverlight or is Silverlight?
It is Silverlight.
Silverlight.
On the Windows 7 phone.
Yeah. So I think this question of, am I going to write a Silverlight application or an XNA application on the phone is going to become pretty huge because people are going to have to decide, you know, one or the other. And as it turns out, you can write games in both. All right. The future is Silverlight. Brian, what's that one about?
Just coming up here in about 9 days' time is April 12th, April 13th, 14th is official launch of Silverlight. So... Over in Bangalore, India, is TechEd India happening. So their theme is the future of Silverlight. And also here in North America, you have Dev Connections in Las Vegas happening that same week. So lots of good Silverlight stuff. And if I can just go ahead here, there's a Silverlight countdown, 4 o'clock, basically from our recording of our show here. It's about 9 days, 9 hours, 9 minutes till Silverlight 4 RTW is what is released to the world. And at that time, also, I believe the Silverlight toolkit is going to get released too.
Yeah, the March 2009 the March 2010 toolkit will be released in April 2010, if I understand that right. Rumors.
Hang on. I'm still laughing from that joke. That was, the April toolkit. That's awesome. That was funny.
So they announced it as the March toolkit, but it's not coming out in March. Okay.
Actually, if you want, at Jeff Wilcox's Jeff at Mix, you can get the preview bits there right now before they get released. So if you're really keen on getting the March bits, you can get the March bits in March. I guess yesterday, but not today.
Okay, guys, so rumors. What do we got up here? Brian actually posted this first thing. Netflix app for the iPad.
Yes. Surprise, surprise. Today, it's not really an April Fool's joke. It's actually Netflix is going to have Netflix on the iPad, so you'll be able to do instant viewing and stuff. And if anybody recalls, like the iPhone itself actually used the Silverlight Smooth Streaming to push those bits out. So very cool. So kind of wondering if there's any future for Silverlight on the iPad. I don't know. What do you think, Kelly?
Silverlight, I don't know. I mean, you know, the smooth streaming, definitely, right? I mean, that's, you're just, you know, your video player is QuickTime, right? You know, and it's, you're connecting to the stream. But I don't know if Netflix is using smooth streaming. I thought originally they were using their own variant of it, right? That they'd kind of grown themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a variant, but they do have the, you know, what I consider to be smooth streaming, you know, the stepping down to bit rates and stuff.
They do, yeah. They had their own algorithms there. If you go back and you look at the mix, was it last year's mix? Or the year before, where they actually demoed that and they were showing that off, right?
Well, I know as today I watch all the time is if you're on a desktop, you actually have their client is a sort of a client on desktop, both Windows and Mac, where you can actually view in smooth streaming with previews and stuff like that. And it is Silverlight application.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that kind of leads into the next thing, which is the initial iPad reviews are coming in. The iPad's going to be released officially on April 3rd, which is 2 days from now. And people are kind of going crazy about it. And we've got a link for, let's see, Apple put this link out for websites that are essentially ready for the iPad. Is that right, Brian?
That's right. Basically, the whole thing is controversy over Flash or Silverlight. If the website's in Flash or Silverlight, you can't view it on an iPad. And basically, they're hyping up HTML5 and CSS, I guess, 3, and JavaScript, just saying, here's all the websites that you actually can see content for.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that's pretty interesting. They're pushing HTML5, and, you know, I guess more power to them. I'm supportive in general of HTML5. But, you know, I was talking with somebody about this earlier, and the thing is, the sort of topics we talk about in Silverlight, which is how do we get our entities, you know, down to the client? How do we do validation on those entities? How do we do projections of those entities? How do we do tracking of those entities? Right, just as an example of, like, data access, like, that stuff is not in HTML5, right? And I kind of feel like this whole Silverlight or Flash or HTML5 is a little misplaced. Like, it's a little weird to me.
It's kind of funny because HTML5 by itself is the markup language and doesn't have any, you know, computational or logic there at all. So they're kind of thinking that just because you have H.264 video in HTML5 that it can replace something, but it's more than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of where Silverlight 1 was. I mean, so HTML5, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, and I might be wrong about this, but they have support in the HTML5 spec, they have the video stuff, and then do they have anything, do they have that canvas element, or is that not in HTML5?
They have video elements with video sources, they have a canvas element, and they have a SVG for like vector graphics element stuff too, but the problem is the spec the early draft, I think, is 2012, and the actual release on a timeline is like 2022. But with the hype with like Google and Apple and just Firefox and all these, even Microsoft as well, is they're implementing pieces of what they think is going to be HTML5 in their browsers, but there's really no standard. So it's kind of, what is the common denominator for that, around that whole picture?
Sure. And I mean, for my part, I hope the standard develops. I think that would be ultimately a good thing. I just, you know, the problems that we're solving inside of Silverlight are just, in my opinion, way beyond that spec. Like the problems we're dealing with on a you know, daily basis and consulting and those sorts of things. Just my two cents.
Well, that totally puts, like, you know, the browser, you know, then it's Safari versus Silverlight, right? It's Chrome versus Safari versus Silverlight versus Opera, you know, and yeah, you're I don't know. I mean, you're back to worrying about, you know, how do the browsers, you're testing on every browser again, and you're worrying about how do they, you know, handle that? Are they fully HTML5 compliant, or are they displaying what you want them to display the same? You know, it's that totally kills your enterprise application development cycle.
I think, Kelly, you make a very good point there, because Apple's got this, you know, get ready for iPad site, just showing how they're kind of meeting standards for HTML5 and that. But at the same time, you go to the iPad, their guided tour site, and it basically says install QuickTime. So it's kind of like a double standard they have going there. I'm saying Apple here, but I think, you know, Adobe and Microsoft or Google kind of are in the same ballpark. They kind of play one side of the game, and then they have their own technology they're also pushing at the same time as well.
Sure. Well, and like I say, I mean, I'm actually deeply supportive. I think it's great if we have, you know, a simple way of playing H.264 videos outside of Silverlight. You know, that's going to be kind of a cool fallback, in my opinion. But anyway,
I agree with you, Eric. I think it just raises the standard, sort of the minimum standard, much higher. So everybody's going to expect video by default. So any good application has to do something more than video.
One other thing I want to bring up before we run out of time in the rumor section is the whole marketplace thing. And I know we have the Justin Angel thing there about Windows Phone 7. Well, actually, let's talk about that first. So I saw the picture there. He's got, like, Windows Phone 7 stuff running on a Zune HD. Is that right?
I think what happened is he stayed up last night and he just kind of hacked it, got it running, and then I think today he's moving into his apartment, so he took a quick picture, posted it on Twitter, but it was a picture of basically Windows Phone 7 running on a Zune HD with a Silverlight application.
Oh, okay. Cool. So no small feat, but it was clearly like a hacked up job.
Yeah, more to come. That's why it's in rumors. It's not news. It's
nice. So, Kelly, you were over at Boise Code Camp. How was it?
It was a way long, tough drive to get over there. But it was good when I got there at 7 o'clock Saturday morning. Sessions were good. There was a lot of Android stuff, right? A lot of interest there, a lot of Silverlight stuff, and there's a lot of companies, there's a few companies there in Boise, you know, a lot of developers that are actually doing, you know, line of business application development, and you know, these are devs, right? And what surprises me is they don't spend a lot of time in Blend, you know, working on user experience. That totally blew me away.
But that's, yeah, I mean, that's I think you were pointing this out pre-show, is, you know, that's partly because you've got to get the client to pay for that time in Blend, right?
You do, right? And that's part of, you know, sales, and there's a whole business side to that, right? And you know, you go for the sweet spot where you can knock out right now, and you know, if you can have a good velocity there with your team, you know, you don't want to hinder that at all. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, the Silverlight stuff was really cool. There was a panel there, it was good. Then I did two Windows Phone sessions, and we got into a lot of discussions about the marketplace. You know, and
so how we're going to sell our applications on the new Windows phones?
There was, you know, and a lot of it was, you know, we could answer those questions by going back to the talks that were given at Mix, right? But you know, as we sit there, you know, the biggest thing was, you know, people needed to go and they needed to sign up at developer.windowsphone.com. And they need to start getting those documents and reading those documents that talk about the marketplace content policies, how you can advertise your apps, if you want to have, you know, extra content that is unlockable, you know, maybe they purchase that somewhere else, you know, how do you let users know about that? There's a lot there that you need to, you know, read up and learn, and then it's really straightforward.
Yeah, do you have any thoughts about that whole process, the marketplace process?
It, you know, I've got some questions as I'm going through it right now, and I think a lot of those are going to be answered as I create my first flashlight app or whatever, and I try to, you know, submit it and sell it and walk through the marketplace scenario, right? You know, the big thing is the first thing that's going to happen when you submit your app is they're gonna inspect the code, they're gonna pull it apart, and they're gonna see what does it depend upon, right? Are you accessing GPS locations? Are you doing address book stuff? You know, but then, you know, part of it also is I'm wondering, you know, does that mean that they pull it apart and then, you know, they let the user know what, you know, the application needs access to at the time of install? Or is that still something that I got to put in my application manifest? You know, and I've got to make sure that, you know, doggone it, those two got to be the same. Because if not, that could be a reason that app is kicked back to me and it doesn't go through the first time.
Right, right. I mean, my sense is they're being more open, right? Like they're saying, here's why your application could be rejected, as opposed to sort of rejecting some apps and letting the community figure it out. Which...
Totally. It is so straightforward there. I mean, you can see everything as far as, you know, whether it's content or if you're not following certain procedures, like, you know, this advertising stuff, like, you know, you can only link to the top level of your company that builds software. You can't link to the top level page of your game or your app website, right? Yep. So that was interesting, you know. You know, that's something that, you know, these things that you may get hung up on the first time, just go through and read those docs. It's really quick. And it, you know, it answers all your questions.
So Kelly, can as developers post apps to the marketplace now, or is there going to be a time in the future we can do that?
I don't know the answer to that question because I'm still trying to finish getting my application approved. I mean, the only thing that I'm waiting on right now is them to check my IRS tax ID number and then to, you know, verify my bank account, and then I can do the next step. They were really fast, though. It's amazing. You go and you sign up, and they want to call you up the next day and help you get through the approval process.
Oh, wow.
That is so encouraging. Let me tell you what.
Yeah, it sounds like a breath of fresh air, quite honestly. I know I signed up for a competitor's app store and just heard nothing for a long time, and then they sent me some information, but it was kind of confusing, and it was, yeah, it was bizarre. Okay.
Dude, I got two phone calls and two emails, you know, that first day, them saying, hey, you know what can we do to help you move forward?
Cool. It's cool and scary at the same time.
Yeah. all right, so let's head out with our application of the week. Brian, why don't you give us a tour of the new Bing Maps application?
Well, it's just interesting. In the last 6 months, Bing has just been really, as a team or a department area, really just focused on doing stuff in Silverlight. You're seeing it all over in different roles. But this week, I think it was March 30th, they actually announced a partnership with Foursquare, and they call it Foursquare Everywhere. And it's just kind of a check-in application, but it's using Bing Maps to show check-ins and status and stuff, so you can actually pull up a map of your local area and just see what's going on locally.
Very, very cool. And by the way, I think I've talked about it before, but there's the Bing application for the iPhone. And if you ever go onto Redmond, if you ever go onto campus there or Redmond, it will actually give you this great maps application, and it'll show you the building numbers. Super, super handy for not getting lost. Okay, folks. Well, thank you for another great episode.
Happy to do it.
Thank you, Eric.
All right, take care, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.
Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in Silverlight 3 or Silverlight 4, check out our website, silverbaylabs.org. That's where we have information about Silverlight consulting and development. If you're interested in training, check out the Silverlight Tour, where I'm an instructor.